He is co-host of his own radio show in Montgomery and, of course, former quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. Down on the Plains, he's Charlie Trotman. Charlie, thanks for the time. And, again, your Auburn Tigers had the weekend off. You got a chance to see a lot of other teams play. And nothing compelling when we got to the fourth quarter, really. Everything was just blowout city.
Yeah, it really was, Chris, especially the Alabama game. I mean, really, the Alabama game, I thought it was over probably midway through the first quarter. I mean, Alabama, they only got a field goal in the first possession, but after that, the avalanche kind of fell on Texas A&M. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I almost felt sorry for Kevin Sumlin because, you know, he hadn't been on the end of scores like that very often. He's been on the other end of those kind of scores. But, he was very frustrated, and, you know, Alabama just had a marvelous day. I mean, offense, defense, everything was working. I thought Blake Sims was really, really special. He had a great game. Amari Cooper was his normal great receiver self, and I thought that T.J. Yeldon probably had the best day that he's had this year running the football.
I'm sitting here looking at where things are now in the West, and it would be easy to go the knee jerk and go, all right, well, there's five teams ranked in the AP and the coaches poll, four of them from the SEC West. It's strictly a four team race on this deal. Do you think that's true? Do you think LSU is still in the mix? I know they're going to have a say so in it, but are we really looking at just one of the four, one of the Mississippi schools or one of the Alabama schools going to Atlanta to represent the West?
You know, I don't know about LSU, Chris. They've been kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type team. I mean, you know, they come out against Kentucky and they look like the LSU that you expect them to look like, but, you know, against Auburn, they look terrible. Now they've made a change at quarterback so that they are sticking with their Anthony Jennings with the guy that's got a little bit more experience than Brandon Harris. So, you know, I think LSU is going to have a say. I will say that. I mean, they're going to definitely have a big say in who goes to Atlanta. I don't think it'll be LSU that goes to Atlanta, but I think that they will have a say. I think it's one of the two Mississippi teams or one of the two Alabama teams. Yeah. You know, and, you know, right now, Mississippi State, it just, in looking at their schedule the rest of the way, who they have to play, they, you know, Pat Dye once said that you can only get up three or four times a year, your team. You know, you can emotionally get to a high level and play at an emotional peak maybe three or four times in a year. And, you know, Mississippi State has already done that for the most part. They've got one more really huge hurdle that they are going to have to conquer, and that's Alabama, you know, in Tuscaloosa, which I'm not sure they're going to be able to, you know, get over that hurdle, especially the way Alabama's playing at home. But, you know, the thing that I would tell you is that, you know, Mississippi State, if they could play well that game and they somehow could get by Alabama, I don't see anybody else that's going to stop them.
You know, I was just looking at something here with these ball games. Charlie, I don't know exactly what kind of odds I could have gotten at Vegas before the year, but I got a feeling if I could have put just a little bit of pocket change on Alabama and Auburn beating LSU and Texas A&M a combined 100-7, but neither Alabama or Auburn would be undefeated right now, I got a feeling I wouldn't have had to do this radio show today.
Yeah, you'd have been a rich man, no doubt about it. It's a week-to-week thing, isn't it, Chris? I mean, the way that these teams are playing, I mean, Alabama goes to Arkansas and doesn't play a very good ball game. They play a good game defensively, but they're just not hitting on all cylinders, on offense especially. And they get away from Fayetteville with a one-point win, and everybody's questioning Alabama. And then Alabama plays probably as good a game and as complete a ball game as you can possibly play against Texas A&M, And I'm using Alabama as an example of all the other teams that we're mentioning, the other four teams in the SEC. But, you know, it's kind of your last look at whatever team that we're talking about. You choose your team, you know, Ole Miss, your last look at them against Tennessee. They look very, very strong. Mississippi State, your last look at them against Auburn. They look very, very good. You know, Alabama, your last look. It changes your opinion about Alabama if you look at the Texas A&M game versus the Arkansas game. So, you know, week in and week out, everything really can change in a weekend's games. It's really incredible, and I don't know that I've ever been a part of an SEC season, you know, as at least in part of the media, you know, watching a season take place where the teams are as even as they seem to be at the top of the SEC West, and can knock each other off at any given time. It's really incredible.
Our guests appear courtesy of the Shock Top Hotline presented by Green Beverage. We're talking with Charlie Trotman. He and Doug Amos co-host a show in Montgomery on ESPN Radio, The Ticket, each weekday from 11 until 1. You were a part of one of the greatest backfields in Southeastern Conference history. We've talked about this before, but you were also on a team that had a wonderful guy as a head coach in Doug Barfield. Could move the football, but really struggled to stop people. Will Muschamp is down there in Gainesville. His defense is doing what he's known for. They're, other than the Alabama game, they're stopping people, but they can't get out of their own way on offense and in special teams. It is very likely to cost him. How in a locker room? When you've got one side that is more than carrying its water for you, how do you keep that thing from splitting wide open as it so easily could when the other half is not getting the job done?
You know, that's a great question, and we had some of that happen on our team, Chris. Our defense was really struggling. My senior year, we beat Vanderbilt 53-35. We beat North Carolina State 44-31. We lost to Wake Forest 42-38. There were times when our offensive coaches, this is a true story, we were playing Georgia Tech and we had our offensive coach tell us not to score as quickly as we had the time before. So they just did not want to put our defense back on the field. I know that there's some problems in the Florida locker room. You could sense that the defense was getting really frustrated in the Missouri game because, I mean, you know, interception return for a touchdown, a fumble return for a touchdown, a kickoff return for a touchdown, a punt return. I mean, it just on and on, and you wonder how in the world you could be behind that far and your offense is just doing nothing for you except getting you in trouble. And yeah, it'll cause a rift in the locker room, and I think there's probably some of that going on at Florida. We had a little of it. We tried to stay together. We had, you know, the senior leadership is kind of what you have to depend on. You have to get both sides together. The teams, at least when I was playing, the defense practiced on a separate field. They were on one field. It was adjacent to the field we practiced on, but the offense really practiced on its own field. So you didn't really have that much contact with the defense except during games or, you know, at meals or any other time. So I think Florida's got a real problem with that right now. And Will Muschamp, he's had enough problems to deal with, you know, off the field this year, but an on-the-field problem when your offense is struggling as badly as they're struggling. I definitely think that there's a problem.
Raised a lot of eyebrows when Nick Saban hired Lane Kiffin. If things go as we mostly believe will happen in Gainesville and Will Muschamp is out, would it raise eyebrows any more than Kiffin to Tuscaloosa to see perhaps a Will Muschamp engineering the defense for Kevin Sumlin in College Station next year?
Well, it would not. I think that would be a great hire for Kevin Sumlin. obviously, he is struggling on defense. I think what was it? Alabama has the honor of being, I think, the only team that has ever shut a Kevin Sumlin offense out. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable defensive effort by Alabama. But Kevin Sumlin can typically score on anybody, but he has got to have some help on defense. And if he wants to be competitive in the SEC West, and if he wants to win an SEC championship, he's got to realize that defense really wins championships. Offense is nice. It's kind of like, you know, you drive for show and putt for dough.
Yeah.
In football, defense wins championships. It always has. And, you know, even when Auburn in 2010 had the great offense and Oregon had the great offense, it was a defensive battle in the national championship. So, I think that would be a great hire. And you know, the thing that's going to be interesting is who's going to replace Will Muschamp at Florida. I mean, that could end up being – I don't think that Florida would go the route of a coordinator again. I think they're probably going to have to go the route of a head coach. But if it was a coordinator, it might be Alabama's defensive coordinator that gets a look. It might be a Lane Kiffin that gets a look. The success that Alabama has throughout the remainder of the year, you know, it could play a part in that particular hire. You never know.
Good Lord, if Texas fans think they are low right now, what if they look up and in 6 months, A&M's in the SEC, they've had a Heisman Trophy winner, and they got Will Muschamp running the Aggie defense. Good
wow.
night. The horns may completely fall off if they hadn't already.
That's true.
Hey, last thing before I let you go. Auburn now with South Carolina coming up this week, and then it's down the stretch run at 5-1, even though they're coming off of a double-digit loss in Starkville. Are they in a spot that's as good as you anticipated, better, worse? Where are they from where you thought they might be on August 30th?
Chris, I think it's about where I thought Auburn would be. With the schedule, I just did not think that Auburn could get to this point unscathed. And I think the rest of the schedule is tougher, obviously, than the schedule that Auburn has been through. But looking at playing Mississippi State at home, playing LSU, playing Kansas State out there, starting off the season with Arkansas, you wonder if there's going to be a bump in the road somewhere, and there was at Mississippi State. And, you know, with the way that Ole Miss is playing and their defense, Auburn has to go there. Auburn has to go to Georgia. Auburn has to go to Alabama. I mean, think about that. Three teams that are in the top 10, Auburn has to still play at their plate. I think Auburn's about where I thought they would be. Now, you know, how they finish, to be honest with you, I really am unsure of how that's going to work out. This game this weekend scares me a little bit. I think it's kind of a trap game. You got a great coach in Steve Spurrier. He's coming into Jordan-Hare Stadium with nothing, and I mean nothing, to keep him from going vertical, 10 or 15 times. He don't have anything to lose. And you hate to be in a situation like that when you go up against a coach like Steve Spurrier, because he's going to pull out all the stops. And Auburn's coming off an off week. Sometimes you don't play as good coming off an off week. I know Alabama didn't when they went to Ole Miss. We didn't play especially well when we went to Kansas State and had an off week. So, don't know how they're going to play. Don't know how the season – the rest of the season is going to pan out. They've got an opportunity, and I guess that's all in the SEC West you can ask for is an opportunity. And the opportunity's out there, but they're going to have to. You're talking about really being a great second half football team of the season. Auburn's going to have to really do something that they didn't do in the first part of the year, and that's be consistent, because they have not been consistent as a team, and they got to get more consistency and play a better brand of defense if they want to be in this at the end.